learn to speak, because you've evolved from the whole deep hell of the dream of the first attention into a better dream, the dream of the second attention, until you dream the dream of the third attention, where you know that everything you're seeing, everything you are dreaming, is a virtual reality made by light. For thousands of years, people have known that there are three worlds that exist within every human. In almost every philosophy and mythology, we find that people have divided everything into three worlds, but they've called them by different names and have used different symbols to describe them. As we've seen in the artist's tradition, which means the Toltec, these three worlds are known as the dream of the first attention, the dream of the second attention, and the dream of the third attention. In Greece and Egypt, they were known as the underworld, the world, and the upper world. In the Christian tradition, they are known as hell, purgatory, and paradise. The concept of the world that we have today is in many ways different than what people understood thousands of years ago. For them, the world was not the planet. The world was everything that we can perceive, everything that we know. That is why it was said that every head is a world, because each of us creates an entire world in our head, and we live in that world. The majority of humans live in the dream of the first attention, the underworld. Another large part of humanity lives in the dream of the second attention, the world of the warriors. And it's because of this dream that humanity is going in the right direction and evolving the way it is. We usually believe that the upper world is all about goodness and the underworld is all about fear and evil, but that's not exactly true. All three worlds exist within every human. We carry the underworld within us just as we carry the upper world within us. In the underworld, a whole infinity exists. And in the upper world, there also exists a whole infinity, and both meet in the world, which is where we live. The way to the underworld becomes a choice, just as the way to the upper world becomes a choice. In the dream of the masters, we are aware that to make a choice is to have a power in our hands. We control our whole dream by making choices. Every choice has consequences, and a dream master is aware of the consequences. Making a choice can open many doors and close many other doors. Not making a choice is also a choice that we can make. By making choices, we can master the art of dreaming and create the most beautiful life. Anybody can be a great dream artist, but the mastery comes when we have complete control over our dream, which means we recover control of our own attention. When we master the attention, we really master intent, which means we have complete control over our choices. The dream of our life is going to go wherever we want to take it. In the ordinary dream of the humans, the belief system controls the attention. And because our personal power, our will, is weak, anyone can hook our attention and insert an opinion in our mind. The will, or intent, is the force that can move what exists or change the direction of what exists. The will is what holds the attention and moves the attention. Once we have enough power that we can use our will, we gain control of the attention. Then we can finally gain control of our beliefs and win the war for the control of our dream. In the dream of the third attention, we are not putting our attention on life. We are life. We are the force. We are intent. And intent controls the attention. The dream of the third attention is the dream of pure intent. We become aware that we are life, not just as a concept, but as an action, as complete awareness. Now we can see with the eyes of truth. And this is a completely different point of view. The first time you learn how to dream, your belief system creates millions of little barriers to the truth. When the structure of your belief system is no longer there, you take away the barriers, and you no longer see only one point of view. There are many points of view that you can see at the same time, You see yourself not just from the point of view of a human, but from the point of view of a force. You see yourself not just as a force, but as the manifestation of that force. You know that you are light, that you are just an image in the light, and you use your attention to witness the dream from the point of view of light. You no longer see everything outside of you as if it's separate from you. You feel the totality of yourself in everything. You feel yourself as the only living being that exists, and you don't just feel it, you know it. As we said before, you understand what you are, but not with words. You don't need symbols. If you use symbols to understand what you are, you can get lost in the symbols while trying to understand yourself. You call yourself a human, and perhaps you identify with that symbol. But in China, you're not a human. In Spain, you're not a human. In Germany, you're not a human. Human is just one symbol. And what is the meaning of that symbol? You could write an entire book and use thousands of symbols to describe the meaning of human, and still you would leave something out. And it's just one symbol. Using symbols to understand what you are is nothing but nonsense. Whatever you think you are will never be the truth, because symbols are not the truth. If you say to a cat, "Hey, you dog," it won't care. It won't answer back. If you say to a person, "Hey, you dog," that person will surely respond, "I'm not a dog." Some people may be offended and others may laugh. It'll be tragic for some and comic for others because we're dealing with different points of view. Do animals need to know the symbol for what they are? Well, they don't know and they don't care. They just are. They don't need symbols to justify their existence. If someone asks me what I am, I can say, "I'm a human being. I'm a man. I'm made out of energy. I'm made out of matter. I'm a father. I'm a doctor." I can use symbols to identify what I am, to justify what I am, to try to understand myself. But the symbols don't mean anything, really. The truth is, I don't know what I am. The only thing I know is that I am. I'm alive and you can touch me. I'm dreaming and I'm aware that I'm dreaming. Aside from that, nothing else is important, because everything else is just a story. Symbols will never tell me what I am or where I came from, and it's not important because I'm going back there anyway. That's why one of my biggest heroes is the cartoon character Popeye the Sailor Man, who says, "I am what I am, and that's all that I am." That's wisdom. That's complete acceptance, which means complete respect for what I am, because I am truth. Maybe what I say is not truth, but I am truth, and it's the same with you. You're alive. You do exist. That's true. But what are you? The truth is, you don't know. You only know what you believe you are. You know what you learned that you are. You know what you were told that you are. You know what you pretend to be. You know the way you wish to be seen by other people. And for you, it may be true. But is it really true that you are what you say you are? I don't think so. Whatever you say about yourself is just symbology, and it is completely distorted by your beliefs. When you finally see yourself without all the knowledge that you've accumulated, the result is, I am. I am what I am. You are what you are. And the complete acceptance of whatever you are is what makes the difference. Once you completely accept what you are, you're ready to enjoy life. There's no more judgment, no more guilt, no more shame, no more remorse. When you leave symbols aside, what remains is the bare truth, pure and simple. You don't need to know what you are, and this is a huge revelation. You don't need to pretend to be what you're not. You can be completely authentic, and because of that, you can deliver a message, and that message is the real you. Your presence is the message. It's the same presence you can feel when your first child is born and you finally hold it in your hands. You can feel the presence of the divinity in your hands without understanding anything. without any words. Every newborn baby has the same presence. It's God, the infinite, an angel incarnate, and we are programmed to react to the presence of a baby. The baby doesn't need to say a word. The presence of the baby says everything. Just its presence awakens the need to give, to protect. When it's your own baby, the instinct is even stronger, and then the presence is really something incredible. That presence awakens your generosity, and you just start giving to your child without expecting anything back, until perhaps a certain point when your child grows up, and it seems as if that presence was lost. When you were born, your presence was enough to awaken an instinct in the people around you to give you attention, to protect you, to try to fulfill your needs. You still have that presence, but it's been repressed for a long time. It's been waiting to come out. To really feel your presence, you need to be completely aware. You need to see your whole creation from another point of view, from a place where everything is simple. When you're not aware, everything looks completely illogical, and fear takes over and creates the big mitote. The fifth agreement is an important part of recovering what you are, because it uses the power of doubt to break all those spells you've been under. It's a very strong intent for you to use your magic to recover the presence that you lost a long time ago. When all of your attention is not on your story, you can see what is real. You can feel what is real. When you're not possessed by a symbology, you recover the presence you had when you were born, and the emotions of the people around you respond to your presence. Then you give other people the only thing you really have, which is yourself, your presence, and that makes a huge difference. But this only happens when you become completely authentic. Just imagine becoming the way you used to be as a very young child, before you understood the meaning of any symbol, before knowledge took over your mind. When you recover your presence, you're just like a flower, just like the wind, just like the ocean, just like the sun, just like the light. You're just like you. There's nothing to justify, there's nothing to believe. You are here just to be, for no reason. You have no mission except to enjoy life, to be happy. The only thing you need is just to be the real you. Be authentic. Be the presence. Be happiness. Be love. Be joy. Be yourself. That's the main point. That's wisdom. Those who are not yet wise are searching for perfection. They're searching for God. They're searching for heaven and trying to find it. Well, there's nothing to search for. It's already here. Everything is within you. You don't have to search for heaven. You are heaven right now. You don't have to search for happiness. You are happiness wherever you are. You don't have to search for the truth. You are the truth. You don't have to search for perfection. That's an illusion. You don't have to search for yourself. You never left yourself. You don't have to search for God. God never left you. God is always with you. You are always with yourself. If you don't see God everywhere, it's because your attention is focused on all those gods you really believe in. The presence of the infinite is everywhere. But if you're in darkness, you don't see what is there. You don't see it because you only see your own knowledge. You guide your creation through that dream, and when your knowledge can't explain what is happening in your life, you feel threatened. What you know is what you want to know, and whatever threatens your knowledge makes you feel insecure. But the moment will come when you realize that knowledge is nothing but a description of a dream. You are the unknowable. You are here just to be in this moment, in this dream. Being has nothing to do with knowledge. It's not about understanding. You don't need to understand. It's not about learning. You're here to unlearn. And that's it. Until one day you realize you know nothing. You only know what you believe, what you learned, just to find out that it wasn't the truth. Socrates, one of the greatest philosophers of all time, took his whole life to get to the point where he said, "As for me, all I know is that I know nothing." Chapter 12. Becoming a Seer. 2,000 years ago, a great master said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, now you know that the truth is what you are. The next step is to see the truth, to see what you are. Only then are you free. Free of what? Free of all the distortions in your knowledge. Free of all the emotional drama that is the consequence of believing in lies. When the truth sets you free, the symbols you learned are no longer ruling your world. Then it's not about being right or wrong or good or bad. It's not about being a winner or a loser. It's not about being young or old, beautiful or ugly. All that is over. It was nothing but symbols. You'll know that you're totally free when you no longer have to be the you that you pretend to be. This freedom is profound. It's the freedom to be the real you, and it's the greatest gift that you can give yourself. Imagine living without fear, without judgment, without blame, without guilt, without shame. Imagine living your life without trying to please other people's points of view, and not even your own point of view according to your own book of law. Imagine how different your life would be if you lived with gratitude, love, loyalty, and justice, beginning with yourself. Just imagine the union between you and your body if you were completely loyal to your body, if you were completely grateful for your body, if you treated your body with justice. Imagine being yourself and not trying to convince anybody of anything. Imagine that just by being yourself, you're happy, and that wherever you go, heaven is going with you because you are heaven. Imagine living with this kind of freedom. Yes, the truth will set you free, but first you need to see the truth. I want you to see if the story of you is the truth or is not the truth. Just witness what is without any judgment, because whatever you're creating is perfect. See your environment, the frame of your dream, all around you. See your beliefs, the way they're reflected in the story of your life. See where your attention is bringing your whole dream. I don't mean for you to think about it. I mean for you to see. And seeing is not thinking. Is it the truth? Well, if it's not the truth, now you know that you don't have to believe it. Instead of believing, learn to see. What you believe, you distort right away according to your knowledge. But when you let go of knowledge and go beyond symbols, at a certain point in your life, you start to become a seer. A seer is a dreamer who has mastered the dream, who has learned to see. Artist, dreamer, messenger, seer, there are so many ways to name you. I prefer to call you an artist, because your whole creation is a masterpiece of art. This is your chance to see your creation, to see what is, to see the truth. But first you have to let go of everything that is not truth, everything that is nothing but a superstition or lie. If you're willing to invite the truth, you'll find that your story, whatever you say it is completely false. You know that the story of you is not the truth. You just need the courage to let go of what you're not, to let go of the past, to detach from your story because your story is not you. The moment you no longer believe all the lies that you've been telling yourself, you find out that it doesn't matter how painful it is. The truth is a million times better than believing in lies. In any novel, in any movie or real-life drama, the highest point of the story is the moment of truth. Before then, all of the drama in the story is building and building. The tension keeps escalating until the truth arrives like a tidal wave and destroys all the lies. In the moment of crisis, the lies can't survive the presence of the truth, and they disappear. There's no more tension. Peace returns with the truth, and we feel relieved that the drama is over. Of course, when the truth arrives in your own story, everything you believe feels threatened. Fear takes over and says, "Help, The entire structure of my life, everything I've ever believed in, is falling apart. What am I going to do without all my lies? If I don't believe everything anymore, if I don't gossip anymore, I'll have nothing to say. Exactly. This is what I've been trying to tell you. People ask me, if I no longer believe all the symbols, if I take my faith out of every word, how can I communicate with anyone? How can I survive in life without the foundation of what I know? As you can see, the power of doubt is working in their minds, and it's even bigger than before. Well, if you remember the way you used to be before you learned to speak, when you were just like the rest of the animals, you'll see that at that time you could communicate without words, without using your intellect, without using words. I want you to recover what you used to be long ago, to go back to the authenticity that you had before you learned to speak and experience the truth. I want you to go directly into your heart and search for the truth with no words, to find your authentic self and bring it out with all of your power. The highest point of your journey back to you is the moment when you finally see yourself through the eyes of truth. If you can see your authentic self, you'll love what you see. You see the magnificence of your presence. You see how wonderful and beautiful you are. You see the perfection in you. And this breaks any doubt that anyone else ever put in your head. You see that you are light, that you are life. And when you accept your own divinity, you become a better reflection of life. You're here to enjoy life. You're not here to suffer over your drama or your personal importance. It's not you. It doesn't belong to your presence. You were here to be a dreamer, to be an artist, to be a seer. But you cannot be a seer when you only have eyes to see your own story, your own wounds, your own victimization. When you're still focusing on what your mother did to you 20 years ago or 40 years ago, or what your father did, or what your partner did, or what any of the other secondary characters in your story did to you, then you are not seeing the truth. If you're focusing on all that drama, then talking to you is like talking to a wall. Does this ring any bell someplace? Before you become a seer, you're far from the simplicity of life, very far from it. You believe that you know everything. You have so many great opinions, and you try to impose your opinions on everybody else. Once you become a seer, everything changes. As a seer, you see what people pretend to be, what they express, what they believe they are. You know that it's not the truth. You know that everybody is just pretending. What are they pretending? You don't know exactly. You can't read the minds of all those secondary characters that you create. You hardly know what you're pretending. But something you can see behind all that pretending is the real person. And how can you not love the real person? Just like you, the real person comes from the infinite. The real person has nothing to do with the symbols that come from the voice of knowledge. The real person has nothing to do with any story. When you become a seer, you see what is behind the story. You understand other people, but they don't understand themselves. There's no way they'll understand you, and they don't have to. The majority of humans don't have the awareness that you have. They don't know why they are the way they are. They have no idea. They just survive. They don't have to believe everybody, but they believe everybody anyway. They don't trust themselves at all. They have no idea how great they are. They only see their knowledge, which surrounds them like a wall of fog. Imagine being the only sober person in the middle of 1,000 people who are completely drunk. Are you going to have a discussion with people like that? Do you really want to believe them? You know that whatever they say isn't the truth, and you know this because you used to be drunk too. And everything you said wasn't the truth either. With awareness, you can easily understand how those minds were prepared to become what they are. But just because you have awareness, it doesn't mean that you're better than anyone else. Being aware doesn't make you superior, and it doesn't make you more intelligent. It has nothing to do with intelligence. Knowing this, of course you are completely humble. You just don't care. But there are two ways of I don't care. There's the way of the victim in the dream of the first attention, and that I don't care is just a lie, because victims really do care, and they get very hurt and injured. They have all those emotional wounds that are full of poison and a defense mechanism that says, oh, I don't care. Of course they care. And of course you won't believe that I don't care. When you're a seer, humans are extremely predictable. You can see that all humans in the dream of the victims are possessed by the main character of their story. This is their point of view, their only point of view. The way they see life is very narrow, and it's narrow because their beliefs act like a mirror that only shows them what they believe, and it's obvious that it's not truth at all. They project what they believe on you, and you perceive what they project on you, but you don't take it personally because you don't make the assumption that what they're projecting is true. You know that what they project is what they believe about themselves, and you know that because you used to do the same thing. Once you become a seer, you see everything that other artists do to themselves, but your point of view is completely impersonal. The process of unlearning takes you to a place where there's no longer a judge and a victim in your story. It's just a story, and you know that it's your creation, but it's just as if it's happening to somebody else. You see all the stories, you see all the symbols, you see how people play with all of that, but it has no effect on you. It doesn't offend you because you're completely immune. You see faces, you love the faces, but you're also aware that there's something that doesn't belong to your dream. It's the personal dream that other artists are dreaming, and you have complete respect for their dream, for their creation. Respect is a beautiful word, and it's one of the most important symbols that we can understand. Imagine that you had never heard the word before, and let's make it up and agree on a meaning. Because just like any other symbol, we need to agree with the symbol or it won't work for us. Respect, like many of the symbols, begins with ourselves, and then it goes out to everyone and everything around us. If we don't respect ourselves, how can we respect anyone or anything else? When you respect yourself, this means you accept yourself just the way you are. When you respect other people, this means you accept them just the way they are. When you respect everything in nature, the animals, the oceans, the atmosphere, the earth, this means you accept the entire creation just the way it is. When we arrive in this world, everything was created already. It wasn't our choice to see what had to be created or not. It was done. And we respect it. Can we do it better? Maybe, but I don't think so. Then respect is about the complete acceptance of everything that exists just the way it is, not the way we want it to be. This is more or less one meaning of the word respect. Once you accept yourself just the way you are, you no longer have any judgments about yourself. Once you accept everybody else just the way they are, you no longer have any judgments about them. Then something incredible happens in your world. You find peace. You're not in conflict with yourself, and you're not in conflict with anyone else. All of the conflict that exists in humanity is because there's no respect. Every war is because we didn't respect the other artist's way of life. Instead of respecting their rights, we start imposing what we believe on others. Instead of peace, there's war. Respect is like a boundary. What we call our rights and respect go together. We have our rights, just as everything that exists in the universe has its rights. We live in a world that we share with billions of other beings, and respect makes it possible for all dreamers to live in harmony, to live in peace. In the dream of the second attention, we begin to create our personal heaven, and when we reach the dream of the third attention, our life is heaven. Heaven is a kingdom where we are the king or the queen. I have my personal kingdom, and it's heaven. but it wasn't always heaven. It became heaven the moment that I no longer judged myself or anybody else, when I decided to respect my kingdom completely, and when I learned to respect everybody else's kingdom. The fifth agreement is also about respect, because I respect other artists when I listen to their story. Instead of helping other artists to write their story, I allow them to write their own. I will never be the one who writes your story, just as I will never allow anyone to write mine. I respect your mind, your dream, your creation. I respect whatever you believe. I respect you when I don't try to tell you how to live your life, how to dress, how to walk, how to talk, how to do whatever you do in your kingdom. As soon as I try to control your kingdom, I'm not respecting you anymore, and we are going to be in a war of control for your kingdom. If I try to control you, in that intent to control you, I lose my freedom. Then my freedom is to let you be whatever you are, whatever you want to be. It's not my job to change your virtual reality. It's my job to change myself. You are the king or queen of your kingdom. It's your creation. It's where you live, and it's all yours. You are dreaming your kingdom, and you can be intensely happy in your own kingdom. How? First, you need to respect your own kingdom, or very soon that kingdom will be hell and not heaven anymore. Second, you'll not allow anyone else to disrespect your kingdom. Whoever disrespects your kingdom is going out of your kingdom. It's your kingdom. It's your life. You have the right to live your own life in your own way, and there is no wrong way. The wrong way is just another judgment we create. Once you've won your personal war, you have no judgments about anything, and other people's judgments don't affect you. Of course, you make mistakes like everybody else, but there's perfect justice in your head. You pay only once for every mistake, and because you're kind to yourself, because you love yourself, the payment is very little. Perhaps these words that I'm sharing with you will have a meaning that makes sense to that voice that lives in your head. And perhaps that voice can start dreaming with this new information and decide to stop being a tyrant, to stop judging you, to stop punishing you. The day of your last judgment could almost be here. It's up to you. If you can convince the tyrant to stop judging, then very soon everything will change for you. Imagine that instead of being your adversary, the tyrant becomes your ally. And instead of guiding your life into drama, it helps you to keep the peace. When the tyrant becomes your ally, it never goes against you again. It never sabotages you again. It facilitates whatever you want to create. Then the mind becomes a powerful tool of the spirit. It becomes a powerful ally. The result is a completely different dream, your personal heaven. In the dream of heaven, you completely surrender to life, knowing that everything is just the way it is. And because you accept everything as it is, you no longer worry about anything. Your life becomes exciting because there's no more fear. You know that you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and that everything that has happened was meant to happen. Even what you consider your worst mistakes were meant to happen because they've led you to greater awareness. Even the worst thing that can happen to you is meant to happen because it's going to push you to grow. What is the worst thing that can happen to any of us? To die? We're all going to die and there's nothing we can do. We can enjoy the ride or resist it and suffer. Resistance, however, is futile. We're programmed to be what we are, and we can only be whatever we are. But inside our virtual reality, we can go against our own programming, and that's how we create a whole world of resistance. The struggling is just the resistance, and resistance creates suffering. When you surrender to life, everything changes just like magic. You surrender to the force that is coming through your body, through your mind, and it's a whole new way to see life. It's a way of being. It's being life. You're happy because you're truth. You're happy wherever you are, whatever you do. Even when you're bored, you enjoy life. Even when you create problems, you enjoy life. You're free, and it's the freedom of a dream master who is not attached to the dream. You hook into the dream with your attention, and you unhook from it whenever you want. The outside dream wants to hook your attention, and you allow it to make the connection, but you can break it at any time. From one moment to another, you can change what you're dreaming and start all over again. In every moment, you make the choice of what you want to keep and what you want to let go of, but not with words. You don't need to make a story, but you can if you want to. In your story, you can blame the whole world for whatever is happening to you, or you can take responsibility for your story, be the artist, see the story, and change it in whatever way that you want to change it. You can be rich or you can be poor. It's not important. You can have fame or not, and it's not important. To have fame in the world of darkness, I don't think is fun at all. To be a ruler of hell, I don't think is fun. But it's a choice, and you can make that choice. If you take responsibility for your creation, you can create anything you want in your life. You can rewrite your story. You can recreate your dream. And if you decide to put your love into your creation, you can change all the stories that used to be a drama into the most wonderful romantic comedies. Perhaps you're not finished with your story, and who knows if you'll ever finish it or not. Honestly, it's not that important. Whatever you do with your life is not that important. Whatever anybody else does with their life is not important, and it's not your business. Hardly anything is that important. But we can say that one thing is important, and it's life itself. It's intent by itself, the creator. The creation is not that important. The manifestation will change day by day, moment to moment, generation to generation. Life is eternal. But your dream only exists while you live in the physical body. Whatever you did here, you won't take with you. You don't need it. You never did. You never will. But this does not mean that you will not create. Of course you will create because it's your nature to create. You're always creating. You're always expressing yourself. You were born an artist, and your art is the expression of your spirit. It's the expression of that force that you are. You know how powerful you are, and that power is real. You know what you learned, and you know that all your knowledge is not real. The truth is happening right in front of you. To experience life is to experience truth. To see the truth makes a huge difference in your world. To become the truth is the real goal, because that is the real you. What is not truth is not important. Your desire for the truth and your love for the truth is what is important, and that is the real teaching. Chapter 13. The Three Languages. The fifth agreement is the most advanced teaching of the Toltec because it prepares us to return to what we really are, messengers of truth. We deliver a message every time we speak, and if we don't deliver the truth, it's because we aren't aware of what we really are. Well, the four agreements help us to recover awareness of what we are. They help us to become aware of the power of our word. But the real goal is the fifth agreement, because it takes us beyond symbology and makes us responsible for the creation of every word. The fifth agreement helps us to recover the power of belief that we invested in symbols. And when we go beyond symbols, the power that we find is incredible, because it's the power of the artistic creator, the power of life, the real us. The fifth agreement is for what I call messenger training, or angel training, because it's for messengers who are aware that they have a message to deliver. Angel is a Greek word meaning messenger, power of the artistic creator, the power of life, the real us. The fifth agreement is for what I call messenger training, or angel training, because it's for messengers who are aware that they have a message to deliver. Angel is a Greek word meaning messenger. Angels really exist, but not the angels of religion with wings. We are all messengers. We are all angels, but we don't have wings, and we don't believe in angels with wings. The religious story about angels with wings is just a symbol, and as a symbol, the wings mean that angels can fly. Angels fly and they deliver information, a message, and the real message is life, or truth. But there are so many messengers in this world who don't deliver life, who don't deliver truth. The world is populated by billions of messengers with or without awareness. It's obvious that the majority are without awareness. They are programmed to deliver and receive a message, but they don't know they are messengers. The majority of the humans on Earth have no idea that the symbols are their own creation. They have no idea where the power of the symbols comes from, which means that the symbols have complete control over them. What kind of messengers are they? The answer is obvious. You see the consequences in the world. Just look around and you'll find out what kind of messengers they are. When you find that out, the fifth agreement makes even more sense. Be skeptical, but learn to listen. What will make a difference in these messengers? The answer is awareness. This is what messenger training does for us. It helps us to become aware of the kind of message that we are delivering in this world. From the Toltec point of view, there are only three ways to deliver a message. Or we can say that there are only three languages in the world of the humans: the language of gossip, the language of the warrior, and the language of truth. The language of gossip is the one that all humans speak. Everybody knows how to gossip. When we speak this language, our message is distorted. We gossip about everything around us, but mainly we gossip about ourselves. If we go to another country where people speak a different language, we find that it doesn't matter what symbology they use. They speak like us, in the language of gossip, in what I call the big mitote. In the ordinary dream without awareness, the big mitote takes over the human mind and creates all the misunderstandings, all the distortions in the way we interpret the meaning of words. The language of gossip is the language of the victim. It's the language of injustice and punishment. It's the language of hell, because all that gossip is made purely by lies. But humans will always gossip, because we're programmed to gossip until something shifts inside of us that is also in the program. This is when we rebel against the gossiping and the war begins in our head, the war between truth and lies. The second language is that of the warrior. When we speak this language, sometimes we speak the truth and sometimes we speak lies, depending on our awareness. Sometimes we believe the lies, which takes us directly to hell, and sometimes we believe the truth, which takes us directly to heaven. But we still believe, which means the symbols still have the power of our belief. As warriors, we jump from one dream to the other dream. Sometimes we're in heaven, sometimes we're in hell. As you can imagine, the language of the warrior is 1,000 times better than the language of gossip. But again, humans are programmed to shift the language we speak, and to speak one more language. The third language is the language of truth, and when we speak this language, we hardly speak. At this point, we know without a doubt that the symbols we use are our creation. We know that we give the meaning to all those symbols to communicate with our own kind. And we use symbols with impeccability, the best we can, to deliver our message, to deliver ourselves, because we are the message. Finally, there are no more lies, and there are no more lies because we have mastered awareness, because we see ourselves as life, as truth. The language of truth is very exclusive, because it's the language of the dream master, the artist who has mastered the dream. In the world of the master, there is always music, there is always art, there is always beauty. The master artists are always happy. They're at peace, and they enjoy their lives. These three ways of communicating are what I call the languages of 1, 2, 3, ABC, and Do, Re, Mi. The language of gossip is 1, 2, 3 because it's simple to learn, and it's the language that everybody speaks. The language of the warrior is ABC, because the warrior is the one who rebels against the tyranny of the symbols. The language of truth is Do, Re, Mi, because it's for artists who have music in their heads, instead of a big mitote. The language of Do, Re, Mi is the one that I like to speak. My head is always full of music, because music distracts the mind, and when the mind is not in the way, it's pure intent. I know that all the music in my head is nothing but a dream, but at least I'm not thinking and making a story. Of course, I can make a story if I want to, and it can be a beautiful story. I can focus my attention on the symbols and use the symbols that you understand to communicate with you. I can also use the symbols to hear what you say. Usually it is about your own story. You tell me many things that you believe are true, and I know they're not. But when you tell me, I listen, and then I know exactly where you're coming from. I see what perhaps you don't see. I see the real you, not what you pretend to be. What you pretend to be is so complicated that I don't even bother to try to understand it. I know it is not you. The real you is your presence, and it's as beautiful and wonderful as anything on this earth. When you see a rose, open and beautiful, its very presence makes you feel wonderful. You don't need to tell yourself how wonderful that rose is. You can see all that beauty and romance of that rose. You smell the rose, and the rose never says a word. You understand the message, but not with words. If you go to a forest, you see birds talking to birds and trees talking to trees with another kind of symbology. You can see the inner communication of everything around you, and it's amazing. There are messengers everywhere in this world. But have you ever thought about it? Have you ever noticed that since you arrived in this world, you've always been delivering a message? Even before you were born, when your mother became aware that she was pregnant, your message was there. Your parents could hardly wait for your arrival, for the moment of your birth. They knew that a miracle was happening, and as soon as you were born, you delivered the message right away with no words. They felt your presence. It was the birth of an angel, and the message was you. You were the message, and you still are the message. But you've been distorted by the reflection of the other messengers. It's not the messenger's fault, it's not your fault, and in fact it's nobody's fault. The distortion is perfect because only perfection exists. But then you grow up, you become aware, and you can choose to deliver a different message. You can choose to become a better reflection of life by changing the language you speak. You can change the way you deliver a message, the way you communicate with yourself and with other people. Now, a simple question for you. I want you to understand the question, but don't allow that voice in your head to answer the question. Just allow these words to go directly into your heart, where you can feel the meaning and intent behind the words. This is the question. What kind of messenger are you? This is not a judgment, it's just a little doubt for your mind, but it's a big step into awareness. If you understand the question, then just this little doubt can change your whole life. What kind of messenger are you? Do you deliver the truth or do you deliver lies? Do you perceive the truth or do you only perceive lies? The whole thing is between the truth and lies. This is the core of the problem. And this is what makes all the difference, because all conflict, whether it's inner conflict or conflict between humans, is the result of delivering lies and believing in lies. What kind of messenger are you? Are you a messenger of gossip and lies? Do you feel comfortable with all the lies, with all the gossip, with all the drama that comes as a result of believing in lies? Is that what you share with everyone around you? Is that what you teach your children? Do you still blame your parents for your troubles? Remember, they did the best they could. If your parents abused you, it wasn't personal. It was due to their own fears. It was due to what they believed. If they abused you, it's because they were also abused. If they hurt you, it's because they were also hurt. It's an ongoing chain of action-reaction. Are you going to continue being a part of that chain? Or is it over with you? What kind of messenger are you? Are you the warrior who struggles in between heaven and hell? Do you still believe people who tell you this is the truth? Do you still believe your own lies? What kind of message are you delivering to the people you love the most if the message that you deliver to yourself is guiding you into hell? What kind of message are you delivering to your children whom you love so much? What kind of message are you delivering to your beloved, to your parents, to your siblings, to your friends, to everyone around you? What kind of messenger are you? If you tell me what kind of dream you're creating for yourself, I'll tell you what kind of messenger you are. How do you treat yourself? Are you kind to yourself? Do you respect yourself? Do you respect other people? How do you feel about yourself? Do you even like yourself? Are you proud of yourself? Are you happy with yourself? Is there any drama or injustice in your dream? Does your dream have a judge and a victim? Is it a dream of predators, a dream of violence? If so, your dream is distorting your message. The judge, the victim, and all those voices in your head are distorting everything. Right now, you're delivering a message to yourself and to everyone else around you. You're always delivering a message and you're always receiving a message from one mind to another mind. What is the message that you're delivering in this world? Is the message impeccable? Do you even notice that you're always using symbols? Just observe the messages that you're delivering. Are the words that you're speaking coming from the truth, or are they coming from the voice of knowledge, the tyrant, the big judge? Who's delivering the message? Is it the real you? This is your dream. If it's not the real you, then who is delivering the message? Isn't that a good question? Can you see the impact of the words that you reflect to others as you speak? Just imagine that you're talking to a wall. Don't expect an answer. It's not for the wall to hear what you're saying. It's for you to see what is coming out of your mouth. It's for you to begin to see the impact of your words on everything around you. By talking to a wall, your message becomes more and more clear. After that, the importance of impeccability becomes obvious. Now, I want you to use your imagination to see the kind of interactions that you've had in your entire life with other people. I'm sure you have lots of memories of your interactions with everybody around you. People are always delivering messages to you, and you're always perceiving their messages. What kind of messengers are the other people in your life? What kind of messages did they deliver to you during your whole life? How did all those messages affect you? Out of all the messages that you received from other people, how many of those messages did you agree with and take as your own? How many of those messages are you still delivering now? If you're delivering somebody else's messages, whose messages are you delivering? Just have the awareness of the kind of messages that you've delivered your entire life and the kind of messages that you've received your entire life. You don't need to judge anyone, including yourself. Just ask, what kind of messenger am I? What kind of messengers are the other people in my life? This is a big step in the mastery of awareness. It's a big step in being a seer. Once you're aware of the messages that you're delivering and the messages that other people are delivering to you, your point of view shifts strongly and firmly. You clearly see the messages that other people are delivering to you, and you clearly see what kind of messenger they are. Then the moment comes when your awareness is so expansive that you clearly see the messages that you're delivering to other people. You see exactly what kind of messenger you are. You see the effect of your words, the effect of your actions, the effect of your presence. You're always delivering a message to everyone and everything around you, but mainly you're always delivering a message to yourself. What is the message? That message is the most important one, because that message affects your whole life. Are you the master who delivers the truth? Are you the victim who delivers lies? Well, it doesn't really matter if you're the master, or if you're the messenger of gossip full of poison, or if you're the warrior and you go up and down from heaven to hell, from hell to heaven. You deliver the information that you have inside you. It's not right or wrong or good or bad. It's what you know. It's what you learned your whole life. And it doesn't really matter what you learned. It doesn't really matter what you've been teaching, what you've been sharing. What really matters is to be what you really are, to be authentic, to enjoy life, to be love, and not the symbol of love that humans have distorted, but real love, the feeling you can't put into words, the love that is the result of being what you really are. Always remember, you are the force that's creating everything in existence. You are the force that opens a flower and moves the clouds and the earth and the stars and the galaxies. Whatever your message, love yourself anyway because of what you are, because you respect what you are. You don't have to be different unless you decide that you love yourself so much that you're no longer satisfied with the kind of messenger you are. Perhaps you've misused the word because you were innocent, because you didn't have awareness. But what happens when you have awareness and you're still doing it? Once you have awareness, you cannot claim innocence anymore. You know exactly what you're doing, and whatever you're doing is still perfect. But now it's your decision. It's your choice. Now the question becomes, what kind of message do you choose to deliver? Is it truth or is it lies? Is it love or is it fear? My choice is to deliver a message of truth and love. What is yours? Epilogue. Help me to change the world. If you're no longer satisfied with the kind of messenger you are, if you want to become a messenger of truth and love, then I invite you to participate in a new dream for humanity, one in which all of us can live in harmony, truth, and love. In this dream, people of all religions and all philosophies are not just welcome, but respected. Each of us has the right to believe whatever we want to believe, to follow any religion or philosophy we want to follow. It doesn't matter whether we believe in Christ, Moses, Allah, Brahma, Buddha, or any other being or master. Everybody is welcome to share this dream. I don't expect you to believe all my stories, but if they resonate inside you, if you can feel the truth behind the words, then let's make one more agreement. Help me to change the world. Of course, the very first question is, how are you going to change the world? The answer's easy. By changing your world. When I ask you to help me to change the world, I'm not talking about planet Earth. I'm referring to the virtual world that exists in your head. The change begins with you. You will not help me to change the world if you don't change your own world first. You will change the world by loving yourself, by enjoying life, by making your personal world a dream of heaven. And I ask you for your help because you're the only one who can change your world. If you decide that you want to change your world, the easiest way is by using the tools that are nothing but common sense. The five agreements are tools to change your world. If you are impeccable with your word, if you don't take anything personally, if you don't make assumptions, if you always do your best, and if you are skeptical while listening, there won't be any more war in your head. There will be peace. If you practice the five agreements, your world becomes better, and you want to share your happiness with the people you love. But changing the world is not about changing the secondary characters of your story. If you want to change the world, your world, the way to do it is by changing the main character of your story. If you change the main character, then just like magic, all the secondary characters will start to change also. When you change, your children will change because the message that you deliver to them will change. The message that you deliver to your wife or your husband will change. Your relationship with your friends will change. Perhaps more important, your relationship with yourself will change. When you change the message you deliver to yourself, you are happier, and just by being happier, the people who live around you will also benefit. Your effort is really for everyone, because your joy, your happiness, your heaven are contagious. When you're happy, the people around you are happy too, and it inspires them to change their own world. We represent a whole legacy, and when I say we, I'm speaking for all humans. Our legacy is love, it's joy, it's happiness. Let's enjoy this world. Let's enjoy one another. We're meant to love one another, not to hate one another. Let's stop believing that our differences make us superior or inferior to one another. Let's not believe that lie. Let's not be afraid that our different colors make us different people. Who cares? It's just another lie. We don't have to believe all the lies and superstitions that have control of our lives. This is the time to end all the lies and superstitions that are not helping anybody. This is the time to end the fanaticism. We can return to the truth and be messengers of truth. We have a message to deliver, and that message is our legacy. When we were children, we received the legacy of our parents and our ancestors. We received a wonderful world. And it's our turn to offer our children and grandchildren a planet where they can live as wonderfully and as well as we do now. We can stop destroying our planet. We can stop destroying one another. The humans can live in harmony. It's incredible what we can do if we really want to do it. All we need is to be aware of what we are doing and to return to our authenticity. I know that we have our differences because we live in our personal dream, but we can respect one another's dream. We can agree to work together, knowing that each of us is the center of our own dream. Each one of us has our own beliefs, our own story, our own point of view. There are billions of different points of view, but it's the same light, the same force of life behind each one of us. Help me to change the world is an invitation to be authentic, to be free. Open your heart to receive this agreement. I'm not asking you to try to change the world. Don't try to do it. Just do it. Take the action today. The legacy that we leave to our children and grandchildren can be magnificent. We can change our whole way of thinking and show them how to have a love affair with life. We can live in our personal heaven that follows us wherever we go. It's not true that we come to this planet to suffer. This beautiful planet Earth is not a valley of tears. Our new way of thinking can replace all those lies and take us to a wonderful place to live life. Wherever I go, I hear people say that we come here with a mission, that we have something to do in this life, something to transcend. Whatever it is, I don't know. I believe that we come here with a mission, but our mission is not really to transcend anything. The mission that you have, and the same mission is true for all of us, is to make yourself happy. The how could be millions of different ways of doing what you love to do, but the mission of your life is to enjoy every single moment of your life. We know that sooner or later our physical bodies will no longer exist. We only have a few sunrises, a few sunsets, a few full moons that we can enjoy. This is our time to be alive, to be fully present, to enjoy ourselves, to enjoy one another. In the last century, science and technology have grown so fast, but psychology has stayed far behind. It's time for psychology to catch up with science and technology. It's time for us to change our beliefs about the human mind. And what I see right now is almost an emergency, because with computers and the internet the way they are right now, lies can go all around the world very quickly and get completely out of control. The time is coming when humans will no longer believe in lies. We begin with ourselves, but the goal is to change the entire humanity, not just our own world. But how can we change the entire humanity if we don't change our own world first? Of course, it's not easy to separate, because in reality, we have to do both at the same time. Then let's make a difference in this world. Let's win the war in our head and change the world. How long will it take for the entire world to change? 2, 3, or 4 generations? The truth is that we don't care how long it will take. We're not in a hurry, but we have no time to lose. Help me to change the world.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.